quite impressive. It's sending you a message. I'm gonna make your hairy dreams come true.
My beard,
you know you want it. Now, baby, it's time to get on it. Girl, don't be afraid, cause I am bringing my beard to you.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beardsman podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and I know it's been a few weeks, but damn, man, Fallout, what can I say? It got me hooked. So, this week, like I said, like I promised last episode, I'm going to give a bit of a review on Fallout 4. We're going to look at some booze news, we're going to look at some beardy stuff, and we're going to get the fuck out of here like happy, happy people. So we're going to start off with Fallout 4. I'm going to get all the reviewage out of the road first. So, like I said last week, I'm not going to go back into the history of the game and all that sort of jazz, because I'm pretty happy that I covered it last episode, which was quite a few weeks ago. I got a day one, which was a bit of a surprise. I wasn't sure if I was going to get a day one or not. And I got to tell you, man, this game is massive. Yeah, it is absolutely huge. Like, I have been playing it for a couple of hours just about every day until I get to, till I got Star Wars, but I'll get to that in just a red hot minute. And, like, my approach to this game was a little bit different than normal. Normally I try and do the, main story mission first, you know, main story quest, and then I'll go to the side missions. This time I took somewhat of a more meandering sort of path through and around the world of, you know, the Boston Commonwealth, so to speak. This game is gorgeous, man. It is absolutely beautiful. So let's start off with the character creation, the sheer amount of options you have to shape your character, male or female. A little bit surprised to see that Ron Perlman wasn't actually the opening narrator. It was done by the main character, who was voiced by Brian T. Delaney, who did an absolutely fucking amazing job, just fucking quietly. Him and Courtney Taylor, who voiced the female portion of the game if you chose to play as the wife in the job. I spent easily fucking 45 minutes to an hour, I think, just getting the face and the body shape and everything else just fucking right. No guesses for me saying he had a beard, has a beard, I should say. Got him as close to myself as I could because, you know, I didn't want to put myself in the game at fucking all, did I? No. Like I said, this game is absolutely fucking gorgeous to play with. One thing I was pleasantly surprised with was the lack of glitches, which has been a problem with these games since their relaunch with Fallout 3 quite a few years ago. Like, I mean, there is a couple of frame rate issues, and occasionally the companions get stuck in goofy fucking places, but I haven't come across, you know, a glitch that breaks the game and causes you to lose, you know, hours upon hours of fucking gameplay a la New Vegas, especially with a couple of their things. If you did one particular quest, which it would knock you out for fucking hours and hours, basically mainly because the game save file got so massive it just collapsed under the weight of its own mass, which is not something we've got here. I'm really digging the inclusion of settlements in this game. So the way settlements work is every now and then when you find, you know, you find certain areas, certain towns, certain locations, you can take over, run, build, and produce all these sort of different jibs and jobbies for your settlement. I think there's about 30 to 40 in the game itself. I think I've discovered about 20 so far, and I can't tell you how much time I have wasted just, you know, fuck-arsing about, fiddling around, building this and building that, and, you know, it really gives a point to all the useless shit that you have always been able to find and get, you know, all the tin cans, the plates, the fucking, you know, all this sort of junk that normally you'd sell, and it would just weigh you down, you know, really make you hammer that fucking, the strong back perk, so to speak. Actually, while we're on the note of perks and traits, the perk system in this game is fairly different from all previous entries. So the way it works is, instead of picking your perks and traits, you have your special, you know, your normal special sort of fucking stats, and these unlock your perks, which you can then level up to give you different advantages, so to speak. I've really been digging it. I've really fucking enjoyed finding different ways to level up my character. There's some that are there basically just for your settlements. There's some there, of course, for the individual character itself. All in all, it's been a lot of fucking fun. Like I said, I'm officially 45% through the entire game, and it's only been the last day or two that I've actually decided to get down and actually start playing through some of the main story quest. The world is truly fucking immersive. While the map may not appear that big, there's still plenty of shit for you to do to get lost for days, running from one place to the other and just looking at all the different sights, sounds, and random fucking missions, quests, and events that happen. And I tell you what, until you come across a behemoth just randomly wandering around, you have not lived, my friend. Not as many ghouls in this game as what has been in the last couple. Shitloads of feral ghouls, a shitload more than what you have seen, but all in all, it has been a rather enjoyable game that I have enjoyed immensely. All in all, if I was to give it a rating out of, say, the typical Drunken Beardsman A through F, I'd definitely give it a solid A, if not even an A+. It has been an amazing fucking game that I have enjoyed immensely. So yeah, that's my little review on Fallout 4. If you haven't got it, by all means go get it. You will not be disappointed, especially with the Season Pass, which includes your 4 DLCs, only being about $30 Australian. There is some real good quality coming. I have got absolute faith that the DLCs that are being released are going to be just more of the pure sheer fucking awesomeness that have come. I'm loving it. I really am absolutely fucking loving it. The inclusion of the Institute and the Synths has been a real novel idea and a real great way to include, you know, a new faction into the Fallout series, while at the same time having a pretty heavy bearing on the story later on down the track. I'm not going to lie, I did cheat. Plus, the availability and the availability and just the sheer amount of power armor that you can accumulate and edit and mod has just been a joy, an absolute fucking marvelous joy to behold and play with. And the mod system itself actually is quite fucking amazing. Once again, one of these things you can just waste hours buck arsing about with. Like I said, the downsides would, if there were any downsides, it would be, you know, little niggly fucking bits like frame rate issues and things like that, and the map not being, you know, as big as what you may like. But I mean, come on, the game is fucking massive, so I'm well fucking chuffed with it. So Fallout 4, by all means, if you haven't got it already, you definitely need to fucking check it out. Now, I did mention before, just before we got into the review, that I also managed to get a hold of Battlefront. Now, this was a game that I was keen to get on release, but never quite got around to it. But then again, my missus surprised me. My sweet, lovely fiancé gave me an early Christmas present. Not only did she get me tickets to go watch The Force Awakens next weekend when it comes out, she also let me get Star Wars Battlefront about a month fucking early. Oh my god, I shat a fucking chalk. I shit you not. I was stoked. So the game itself, just to give it a bit of a background, was started development back in 2013, where EA gained the exclusive rights to Star Wars. Now, DICE, who are the geniuses behind, in particular, the Battlefield series, and got their start actually making pinball games, immediately got cracking on a brand new Battlefront, Not only announcing the game, but also showing a teaser trailer at the 2013 EA conference. So this version of Battlefront is actually a reboot of sorts of the series, instead of a sequel to the first two games on the Xbox and PlayStation 2. It was released on November 17, and the game has been getting, you know, kind of mixed reviews because it is kind of repetitive, and it was pretty light on content. And when you consider that the DLC, which is going to include four separate, the season pass, which is going to include four separate DLC packs, is priced, you know, fucking $10-$15 less than the game itself, is a little bit fucking scary. So there has been some shit coming from that. Me personally, I also could not fucking stand the voice actor of Darth Vader, who was voiced by, who I'm sure is quite talented, the Matt Sloan. But I mean, other than that, they've pretty well nailed the voices. You know, Sam Witwer come back again as Emperor Palpatine. Tamora Morrison came back as Boba Fett. Tom Kane, who voiced Yoda in the Clone Wars, come back to voice Yoda once again, as well as Admiral Akbar. Anthony Daniels, of course, will do anything for a buck. So he's back as C-3PO. Misty Lee does a pretty passable job as Princess Leia. Anthony Hansen does a pretty decent job as Luke Skywalker. I'm trying to think off the top of my voice who did fucking Han Solo, because he also did quite well. It was only really, Darth Vader who fucking really jived with me. John Armstrong, that was who did Han Solo, so. I mean, there's a pretty talented fucking cast here when you look at who did all the voices. I just had a real problem with Darth Vader. I still have a fucking serious issue with Darth Vader. It sounds nothing like him. It sounds more like General fucking Grievous with a cold, but that's just my humble opinion. But to the game itself, the graphics on this thing, once again, we are living in a true golden age of fucking video games, where the graphics are just absolutely fucking gorgeous. The maps are fucking immersive. You know, it's really good play on the classic sort of original trilogy worlds of Hoth and Tatooine. It was really cool to see a little bit of Sollust, which is one of the worlds that we see so far. And of course, then you've got Jakku. Now, Jakku, which is, if you've seen the trailers, that's the desert planet from the trailers, you know, with the big fucked out friggin' Star Destroyer, which we find out how that gets there in the book Lost Stars. Yes, the Battle of Jakku was the first DLC, which was released for free officially on the 8th of December, so just a couple of days ago. But if you pre-ordered the game, it was actually available on the 1st of December. Because I didn't pre-order it, of course, I had to wait with all the other plebs and played through it from the 8th till today, pretty much, which included two new maps and a new game mode. And the thing I really loved about this game is a lot of the problems you get with first-person shooters is if you're not onto it from day dot, or you don't play online first-person shooters often, you quite normally just get fucking annihilated. This isn't the case with this, because it is, you know, a sci-fi game, it is Star Wars, the weapons mechanics are slightly different, and for the better, I've got to say, in my personal opinion. So, I mean, I'm not a massive online fucking first-person shooter gamer, but in this, I'm managing to keep my own and staying in the top sort of half of, you know, the rankings, at least match by match. It is absolutely fucking cool to play and fly X-Wings, TIE Fighters, Y-Wings, and Interceptors. It is a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong, like, it does get a little bit repetitive, but I mean, that's what you get when it's a fucking first-person shooter online. They're all pretty fucking repetitive. Offline battle modes, pretty much all the same. I mean, it's Battlefront, you know what I mean? Like, it's different, it's innovative, it's new, it's pretty cool, but I mean, it is essentially just running around on a map, shooting the shit out of people. I am a little bit disappointed that we're seeing no Clone Wars stuff or prequel stuff, because, I mean, that was one of the things I really did enjoy about Battlefront 2 in particular, was the amount of attention they played on the prequels and on the Clone Wars. I mean, you know, say what you want about the prequels, That is an interesting time, and in a game like this, it is an interesting fucking tack to take. So I'm sincerely hoping that some of the DLC that gets released is based around that. They've also announced that they're going to release some more free DLC in the very near future, which can only mean some shit based from The Force Awakens. Oh my god, less than a week, people. Less than a week. How fucking awesome is that? I cannot fucking wait, by the way. So, you know, all in all, I'd rate this game, at the moment, a solid B+. It's still a fucking excellent game. It's a game that I've been able to play with me kids. The online mode and the offline mode, both, while repetitive, still give you plenty of entertainment. And this close to the movie coming out, it is a nice little fucking healthy dose of Star Wars that you can fucking just clock on and clock off really quick. Actually, that's one thing I am finding with these new consoles. Well, I say new, they've been out fucking over 12 months. Is the way that they work is absolutely amazing. Where, you know, in the past, if you wanted to fucking play a game, it's a good 5 minutes to fucking turn shit on, fucking wait for it to load. Righty, righty, rah. With this, you can turn it on and get straight into it because it doesn't actually shut nothing down. It just sort of suspends it. So, I mean, that's been amazing. It's been good, actually. You know, fucking 20 minutes before work, half an hour before work, I can jump on, do a battle, or, you know, get from one place to the other, do a little side quest if I'm playing Fallout. And I've loved it. I've absolutely fucking loved it. Actually, while we're on the subject of fucking Star Wars, I finished Lost Stars. I wasn't going to read it because it is a, you know, young adult novel. But I've actually found the book actually really quite amazing. So it was written by Claudia Gray, and it was released. Oh shit! When was it released? It was released a couple of months ago in September. The plot synopsis is as follows. The reign of the Galactic Empire has reached the outer rim planet of Jilukan, where aristocratic Athane Kyrell and rural villager Sienna Reeve bond over their love of flying. Enrolling in the Imperial Academy together to become fighter pilots for the glorious Empire is nothing less than a dream come true for the both of them. But Thane sours on the dream when he sees firsthand the horrific tactics the Empire uses to maintain its ironclad rule. Bitter and disillusioned, Thane joins the fledgling rebellion, putting Sienna in an unbearable position to choose between her loyalty to the Empire and her love for the man she's known since childhood. Now on opposing sides of the war, will these friends turned foes find a way to be together? Will Judy tear them apart and the galaxy apart? So, I mean, like I said, it is a young adult novel, and I was expecting something more along the lines of the younger end of that series. But I've ended up finding out something that's really quite mature in places. You know, it's enough to keep an adult interested. Now, Claudia Gray has written a lot of looks to be shitty fucking romance fantasy fucking novels, but you know, she is very good at crafting the fucking story. I mean, there is a little bit of right place at right time, as these two seem to be in every single major event from the original trilogy in various fucking places and events. But the characters themselves are well fleshed out. It's a really nice sort of look into what it's like being one of the, I wouldn't go grunts, but you know, a cog in the fucking big machine of both the Alliance and the Galactic Empire. And it also gives us a nice, disturbingly fucking brief little hint at what happened after the Battle of Endor, which is really fucking, you know, buzzing me bird. And of course, it also shows you where that Star Destroyer in the Battle of Jakku from the game actually comes from. Without giving too much away, it is a solid fucking solidly crafted book. I mean, you can tell it is for slightly younger audiences, but like I said, as an adult, there's enough there to keep me fucking interested and to keep me intrigued. It does touch on all the major players from the original trilogy, the Emperor, Vader, you know, Han, Leia, and of course Luke, without actually involving them in the story at all. So, like I said, it's this nice little sort of tangential look at the original trilogy, without having to fucking rely too heavily on the standard tropes that we have seen in most of the novels so far. And I really do enjoy Claudia Gray's writing style. It's fun. It's easy to follow. It flows quite well. She can craft a story. She can really build characters up. It was a really good novel, actually. So if you have been umming and ahhing about it, or you don't know what Lost Stars is, I definitely suggest go checking it out. It'll have no bearing on how you enjoy the movie, or the fucking video game for that matter, but it is just a nice, decent fucking story. Actually, one of the better ones that have come out in the new literary expanded universe. So that's basically all my nerd shit for this week. So what we're going to do now in some... we're going to leave the tragic news till last. So apparently, drinking beer can prevent dementia and Parkinson's. So research done by Jianguo Fang and colleagues of the Lanzhou University show that a compound in hops, bear with me, xanthohumol, protects neuronal brain cells and slows down the development of brain disorders such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and other neurodegenerative diseases. The compound potentially can prevent or slow down oxidative damage of neuronal cells. So basically, it has a compound in hops, which is in beer, which protects, you know, the thinking bits of your fucking brain. Which brings it up to, if you want to be healthy, you need to run or do your 10,000 steps, which is, you know, a couple miles, a few kilometers every single day. At least 2 glasses of red wine, couple pints of normal beer, which, I mean, I suppose you can fold into your stout, although a nice, decent sort of pale ale would be probably even better, or a nice lager. At least 1 stub of your stout. You know, this is all for your heart, your iron, and, you can get pretty fucking pissed by the end of it, I suppose. There you go. Oh, and crossword puzzles, of course, because crossword puzzles have also been shown to stave off dementia, at the very least. So we've had... Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. I really don't. I don't know if I'm just being a silly old man. But there's a new bearded trend. Now, I hear you people. What? Not another trend. Not another man bun. Surely to God. More fades? No. Beard bobbles? That's... we're going to avoid beard bobbles this year, I think. They're, of course, all over the fucking place, as per goddamn usual. They're becoming more and more fucking popular, especially coming into this Christmas season. People can't seem to help themselves but put random shit in their fucking beards that is quite hard to get out, and they think it's cool, and I'm sorry, guys, but it's not. Okay, as much as you may like to think that your beard is a fashion accessory, I'm here to tell you, fellas, it's not a fucking fashion accessory. It's a goddamn fucking beard. But the ladies have decided to jump on board. So here's what's going on. Women are going around all over the world. It's going viral. Of them braiding and plaiting their head hair into beards. So how this trend apparently came around is... Decembeard. So, if you're a regular listener of the show, you know that we fucking highly support Decembeard, which is a charity that aids bowel cancer and continues on the Movember tradition of just growing a beard for the month of December. It's a really good charity. It's something you really need to look at. But one of the things they did last year was really try and spread awareness through to their cause through the use of lumberjacks. They sort of really jumped on board when the lumberjack thing was still fledgling and just fucking pushed it hard. The lady beard became an overnight sensation after women decided to get into a similar groove, which is something Decembeard does support, you know, bring your women on board, and started uploading their own beard posts online. Look, I don't know, good on them, I reckon. Fucking, it's a bit of beard envy to a certain point, but there you go. So just have a quick look at lady beards, because there are some crazy imaginative and fucking scarily realistic looking beards floating about on women on the fucking internet. So we're going to move on to our last bit of beard news for the week, and I've got to admit, this is a little bit sad for me. The Beards have announced their final tour. That's right, you heard us. The people, the band behind our absolutely amazing, our amazing theme song, die hard beard fans from the fucking start. 10 years in the fucking business of doing bearded songs, have decided that they're going to hang up. They're going to hang up the touring boots. So on, where is it? Just this month, the last week or two, this turned up on their website. The day has arrived. After 10 years, 4 studio albums, 56 songs about beards, and way too many shows, beards, and beard strokes to count, we're hanging up our touring hat indefinitely as of 2016. And that was when they announced their farewell tour. At the moment, they've got 35 dates through Australia with the promise to announce much, much more. They are pretty cagey on what they're doing next, only to mention that they are going to step up their activities to stage 2 of the Pro Beard movement. According to Nathaniel Beard, who is the bass player, in an interview he said this: "I have to be a little coy about phase 2 of our operation because I'm not sure how legal it is. Let's just say that it's going to be heavily beard related and we'll be out in the community propagating beards, just not through music." So, I mean, I'm saddened by this. I've got to admit, I am a massive diehard fan of the Beards. I've watched them every year for the last 3 years, which is funnily enough how long they've done 5 tours in the last 3 years, internationally as well as in just in and around Australia. And I'm really sad to see it. I mean, I'm going to go watch them. I'm actually going to try and get them on the podcast for an interview when they come down my way, which is, when is that? I think it is next year on the June the 15th is when I'm going to go see them guys. So I'm going to try and get them in because that's the first show they've got in Queensland. I'm going to try and get a hold of them for an interview. So if you are listening, find them on Facebook, find them on Twitter, tell them that they need to go on the Drunken Beersman podcast as part of their farewell tour, and I will work it from my end. We'll see if we can get the guys, well, it won't be in studio, of course, but I will go to them. Have microphone, we'll travel. So I might even be able to track down the elusive Mr. JD to sit in on that interview as well, because why the fuck not? So, yeah, I think that's about all I've got time for this week. Did you see the shitstorm that 50 Cent got into recently for using his cat, apparently, to push his fucking effing vodka? Sorry, brain fart, it's after 1 o'clock in the morning here at the moment. I'm squeezing this in before so I can go back to playing video games. And you know what? I don't think anybody really fucking cares about 50 Cent. Do you care about 50 Cent and effing vodka? I don't. Fuck him. So what we're going to do is we're going to delve once again into our vault of beards. And we're going to find a random fucking story. Because I can't remember where the fuck I'm up to. Where are we? You know what? Let's go with a rather recent one. Let's go with Dennis Morgan. Here's one I've been wanting to read for a while, actually. So, Dennis Morgan is a professional beard competitor / truck driver who bases himself out of Tacoma, Washington in the US. You can find him on the Twitter at Beardo_Dennis, and he has got an amazing fucking beard. So, he decided to go with the more interview-style track when it comes to the Beards in Focus story, and this is what he had to say on why he decided to grow a luscious beard. He says a friend of his, whose face was adorned with an epic mane of his own, suggested that he should watch the TV series Whisker Wars. I wasn't previously aware of the competitive beating scene, but from the time I viewed the show, I knew that I wanted to become a part of that world. As far as influence on his beard, he has stated that his majestic teammates in the Beardalizer Beard Dream Team are a great influence. The world deserves an army of epic bearded men, and they're here to fulfill that role. His journey started on April 1st back in 2014, and he is, when it comes down to trials on the road to a great beard, he has he reckons that his greatest trial has been trying to learn more and help other bearded men along their bearded journey. He's a mentor, and he also helped us get the Facebook page, especially of the Drunken Beardsman, out there a lot more. He helped us with the social media likes, so to speak. As to whether there's any inspirations or driving forces behind his decision to grow a beard, he had this to say: "I'm not a woman, nor a child. As such, I feel beards are self-explanatory. I'm a part of this fine planet's awesome population of handsome bearded men. They are the best driving force." He has no plans to shave. He will continue growing. He is bearded for life, and he sounded quite offended when I asked him if he can plan to continue growing. With that mighty goal of being the world full beard styled mustache champion, he is in good fucking running, I'd say, to achieve that goal. Now, he has got probably one of the best reactions to the hipster question, the dreaded hipster question, and whether they're good for beards or bad for beards. He had just this to say: "The fuck's a hipster? Where did my beard go?" On what inspired him to compete and how he has found the competitive beard community, good old Beardo Dennis reckons he's always been a bit of a ham. "I'm an animated guy," he says, "and I love being on stage and showing off for the crowd. Plus, having fun and raising money for charity is awesome." And finally, on the question of on the subject of peak beard and whether it has been achieved, Dennis is firmly in the realm of absolutely not. His thoughts are that the peak beard will never be achieved until every man on earth is growing one. Step up your game, fellas. The real men are waiting. So that was our show for this week. I'm trying to keep it nice and quick, even though I have that music, of course. Try to keep it nice and short because I know that I'm a bit of a boring cunt all of my own. And I have missed a couple of weeks, so I've got a lot to catch up on. I'm going on an internet and social media blackout as of probably Tuesday, I'm thinking. I do not want to see or hear a single fucking thing about Star Wars until I go watch it myself on the Saturday, where, of course, I'm going to share my thoughts with it. With you lovely people. So, until next week, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Drunkle Dan. This has been the Drunken Beardsman Podcast on the same drunk channel, the same bearded time. I'm your host. Have fun, and may the Force be with you.
Take a good hard look. Within moments, you are hooked. Just get up nice and close, girl, don't be shy.
My beard.
Just breathe it in. Put your mouth on my chin, baby, just relax, reach out your hand and do